Hello and welcome to the Mountainbrook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, April 6th. We are reading one of my favorite passages today. I know I have a lot of favorites. John 3, 1 through 21. This holds John 3, 16. And I was thinking, if there are some kids that are listening, if you could send me a video of your recitation or reciting of John 3, 16, get your mom or dad to help you send it to me via text. I want to give you a little prize. This is a verse that I learned as a kid, and I think it's a helpful verse when we think about God's love and about Jesus and how he gives us eternal life. After we read in John's Gospel, we'll move over to Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 20, and we'll go through verse 35. Jesus teaches Nicodemus, John 3, starting in verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let's go back to verse 16 here and say it with me if you know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." As we turn to the Proverbs today, we're in chapter 6. An image came to mind as I first read this passage. Solomon tells us that we should put the word of God around children's necks. And I was thinking about sideline swag, specifically the University of Miami, how they have that big gaudy chain that has a U on it. And when someone on defense does something really good, they get to wear it. And it is motivation for the team to get a turnover or do something great. Solomon is telling us as believers that we want to motivate our children to be the kind of people who stand out, who wear God's word around their necks, who think on the things of God as their primary purpose. And so today, that's my prayer for our children, that they would find motivation to be in God's word and to follow his wisdom. And then at the end of the chapter, there's this series of two rhetorical questions as it relates to the adulterous man. And the obvious answer to them is no. So I want you to look for those as well. Starting in verse 20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is." Did you find the rhetorical questions in verses 27 and 28? Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? No. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? No. What is the principle here then? That we need to avoid at all cost going down the road of unfaithfulness. Before we end today, I want us to pray for a country as we do on Saturdays, Azerbaijan, and the people there are mostly Muslims. There are a few Christian churches mostly held in houses. We want to pray for them to come to know Jesus as Lord. There's an interesting fact in the book I'm using that says there's a site near Baku, which is a town in Azerbaijan, called Fire Mountain, where a wall of fire has been burning for more than 65 years. It says natural gas seeps out from the ground, so the flame never goes out. This is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works in our lives and is a flame, so to speak. And so we just pray, Lord, even now, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in the people of Azerbaijan, helping them, like Nicodemus, to understand that we must be born of your Holy Spirit. And we pray according to the Proverbs today that you would help us to put your word around our necks, that it would be our guiding light today, and that you would help us to stay the path of faithfulness, remembering that while we are wayward and we often are prone to wonder, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the truly faithful one. He is righteous and ready to save. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the hope and the forgiveness and the reconciliation that you provide. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.